Once there was a man who had a significant problem with controlling his anger. Every time he got angry, he cursed. He cursed at whoever was around. Over and over, people heard this foul language, and it became a real problem for him. So he went to his pastor. He asked his pastor if he had any ideas how he could stop. And the pastor came up with this idea. He said, listen, from now on, every time you feel like cursing, instead, sing a hymn. Well, the man thought for a moment, said, I don't have a very good voice. I don't know very many hymns. So the pastor said, here's a hymnal. So the man went home. Came back about 3 weeks later, and the pastor said, well, how's it been going? And the man said, well, pretty good, but I've got another problem. What now? Said the pastor. The man said, I need another hymnal. Well, maybe some of you can relate to how it is that anger so easily and often emerges, erupts, and becomes a problem for us. Anger is a part of human life. We are created with this emotion for good reason. But as with all of the things that God made for us and in us, when not properly used or managed, it can become a problem. And you know that because right now you can think of someone who you are angry at. Just a little bit, maybe a lot. You can remember that time when you were really angry at someone. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said, or someone hurt you with their anger. We all know the anger journey. Certainly, I do. Maybe you think of your boss or a coworker. Maybe it's a member of the family. Maybe your spouse. Maybe your anger is constantly being riled up by a neighbor. Maybe someone in church. Maybe the pastor. Everybody gets angry. The issue is, and the question is for us, how do we manage this God-created part of us so that it doesn't become a problem? I had my own angry moment recently, and I tell you this just because it's real. I went to a professional office not that long ago. First time appointment. I was on time for my appointment. No one else in the waiting room. Stepped up to the desk. Two ladies behind the desk. One on the phone helping someone, chatting with that person. Another person with a big pile of papers in front of them. And I just stepped up to the desk and stood there. Woman on the phone, after about 30 seconds, got off the phone and then gave her attention to the pile of papers in front of her. So now two women are sitting there looking at the pile of papers, things going on, and here I am standing and not being acknowledged, not being recognized. And I started to feel this resentment come up. That's just another word for anger. And I just stood there for a while. Finally, and no, I didn't go, I didn't say, excuse me. I just stood there. Finally, one of them lifted their head and said, welcome. And everything went on just fine. But I look back and say, what was going on in me that little moment led to starting to feel angry? We all have those moments. Dear Abby is a column that I sometimes read because there's good sermon material here. So, listen. Dear Abby, I'm a fun person to be with, and I love spending time with my friends and family, but one thing sometimes ruins it. I have a bit of a temper and some anger problems. I'm wondering if you have anything you could help to control my temper and be nicer to people. I get into disagreements with people I care about because of my attitude. From Testy Teen in Wisconsin, a 15-year-old has the insight to acknowledge that anger is a problem. And it is for lots and lots of us. In our national life, we see indications of this all over. The lack of civility, the declining civility and kindness in our public discourse is a symptom of national anger, for we have become an angry country. I have a whole theory about why, but it's true that we are. The violence against each other, the words that are said, especially the anonymous words that can so easily be said on the internet, social media, reflect an anger that is growing and very concerning. Road rage, sarcasm, the things that we say, even to our dearest loved ones, are indications of this culture of anger to which we all are symptoms. We all are prone if we're not careful. So let's take a look at what it feels like. Maybe you'll recognize this. Look at this little video because I think this is real. That from a movie where anger is portrayed at a control center in our brain. Some of you know that movie. Another clip from that same movie reminds us that even little children quickly learn how to be angry. Watch this one. So quickly, anger comes up, fades away, and it comes up again when you least expect it or when you know it's coming. It's a part of our lives. And the Bible bears witness to this truth from the very beginning of the Scriptures, when jealous anger causes a murder between Cain and Abel. And from then on, over and over and again, we find at different stages throughout all the centuries, scriptural references to the danger of anger. As one person noted, anger is one letter different from danger. Today, we take a look at what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Remember, these are Christians just like us. It's a congregation just like us. But they are still learning what it means to follow Jesus. They haven't had a long time to understand the nature of his teachings, how God chose to reveal grace and love and forgiveness fully and forever in this Jesus. So they're new, they're fresh. And so that's why the letter to the Ephesians seems almost elemental, almost simple in how it is being written. He says, don't steal. Well, don't we know that? Well, perhaps they didn't understand that. But he also, this Paul, writes to them about anger. And so we learn something from what he wrote to that church. The first thing we learn is that Paul and good healthy mental health calls us first to look within. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger. The assumption is that it is there. It is there. It is in all of us and easily brought forth. Some true more than others, but all there. In your anger, do not sin. Look inside. Some Christians have the misconception that if you're a Christian, you can't get angry. You shouldn't get angry, that being angry is a sin. It's not. If you do something with anger that hurts other people or hurts God, that is a sin. But the feeling of anger in and of itself is not a sin. So we can acknowledge that we have that anger by looking in and ask ourselves, why is it and what is it that is causing it? And early on, as that little video shows, it may have to do with not getting dessert when we want it. But as we grow older, that same scenario plays itself out. Often anger because we don't get what we want. True story of a man who was constantly in pain in his shoulder. This shoulder pain was there for years, and he couldn't find an answer to it. He went to orthopedists and other doctors, x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans. Nothing would reveal why his shoulder was so chronically hurting him. Eventually, he went to a counselor, a psychologist, for other matters. And in the course of that discussion with the psychologist, they started talking about the neighbor that was just this bane of the man's existence, who was always doing things to aggravate him, who was intentionally trying to hurt him. And this went on for years. And the man said to the counselor as he talked about his neighbor, "You know, I've always just wanted to hit the guy." And they got talking about how that desire to hit related to that shoulder that was always hurting. And as he explored more and more the nature of that inner anger that he was holding back, the pain in the shoulder went away. Yes, within us are angry feelings. As long as we don't use them to hurt others, we just need to acknowledge they are there and explore them and find out what they're all about. The pillow I used with the illustration with the children comes from my own experience as a dad. I may have told you this before, but when one of my daughters was in eighth grade, she had an attitude. Of course, that's just kind of redundant, isn't it? So she comes home with this really, really pouty attitude one day from school, and right after school I met her in this pouty attitude and angry attitude, and I said, "What's wrong?" And she wouldn't answer. I said, "Please, what's wrong? Something's..." "No, everything's fine." But just the words themselves immediately told me she was upset, angry about something. And so I said, "Well, you seem angry." "No, I'm not angry." So we had this conversation that didn't go anywhere, and I said, "You know, it's all right if you're angry." "No, I'm not. Leave me alone." Now, sometimes parents have to be annoying. That's part of the job description. Occasionally, parents have to be annoying and really press your children to look deeper. So in that moment, I took a pillow from the couch over here. I walked over and I put it right in front of her. I said, "I think you're angry. You'd probably feel better if you hit this." She said, "Get away. No." Well, being annoying, I put it a little closer. "No." So that was pretty good. "Try it again." She took a whack at that pillow that shook my hands, which led me eventually to buy a punching bag and hang it up in the garage, where all three of my daughters knew that when anger began welling up inside, that would be a good place to go to let it out, a healthy way and not hurtful. Anger is within. Look inside, friends. Be honest. Talk about it. Let it out in a healthy, wholesome way. Do not let it cause that inner pain, because eventually, if we don't do it, it begins hurting us and hurting others. Paul says, get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger. It starts by looking within and finding it. Then Paul says, look around. Not only look within, but look around at others. Here's how he put it. He says, do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up. You see, anger is always about us. My rights, my wants, my needs. When you start looking outside of yourself to others, you start immediately moving away from that self-centeredness and consider the other's needs. And so, if I had been wise in that moment in that professional office, while I'm standing there, I might have started thinking, I wonder what it is that this woman on the phone is talking about. Maybe she's trying to help someone who is in significant pain or discomfort. Maybe this woman with this pile of papers over here isn't giving me any attention because she has just realized she's got a major problem and the boss has given her heck because she's got to solve this problem right now. Maybe one or both of them didn't want to come to work today because there's sickness in the family, or they just found out their grandchild broke their arm, or whatever. If I had perhaps started thinking about others in that moment about what those two people may be going through, it would have settled my growing sense of frustration and even anger. Thinking about others. Look around. Consider who it is you're angry at, and then think about what they're going through, walking a mile in their steps. You know how it's said. Look at how it's presented in yet another video that I think makes a great point. Let's watch. So considering the needs of others, looking at other people, wondering what is their challenge in life, what are their needs, is a huge, huge step toward managing anger. Out of colonial England comes a story of a master who had several servants on the payroll. And this woman was putting together a huge, huge party. Hundreds of people would come, and it was taking a long time to prepare. And all the servants were told, be here that morning extra early at 7 a.m. to put out all the food and everything that's needed for this great, lavish party. Her number one servant, the woman who organized everything, was not there at 7 a.m. She was not there at 8 a.m. The woman giving the party became angry. 9 a.m., 10 a.m., this woman didn't show up. Things were falling apart. Things were just going terribly because this woman was needed, but she wasn't there. Finally, about noon, this woman walks in, and in a great rage, the master of the house says, "You're fired. Where have you been? You knew you had to be here. Get out of my sight." The servant simply said as she started to walk away, "My son died last night." Do you see how it is that as followers of Jesus who care about others, we must be so careful to consider the needs of others before we let anger emerge and cause problems? So we look within, we look around at others, but ultimately the way we manage anger as followers of Jesus is to consider him who suffered on that cross, who walked a journey of life that had every reason and rationale to be angry. Jesus, in his own church, first time out, given a sermon, and they reject him. Then they try to kill him. Did he get angry? Of course not. Jesus, who goes soliciting followers, and some say no. Here, the bread of life, offering life to them, and they reject him. Does he get angry? No, he continues on. He heals 10 lepers using the power of God to restore life in a way that's so incredibly significant. And one comes back to say thank you. Does he get angry? No. The night before he dies, his followers gather. And Peter, number one follower, closest to him, draws his sword and tries to defend Jesus with violence. And Jesus says, no, don't you get it? No. Does he get angry at him? No. And from the cross, as he is dying and suffering the most inhumane type of death, does he get angry at those who are killing him? No. He says, Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. You see, God's grace puts our anger in its place. God's grace, God's unconditional love for the undeserving, puts our anger in its place and replaces it with the mind of Christ. And thus anger can be managed by looking within, looking around, but mostly looking up at the cross, the one who died for us in love. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you well know how we live. You know, Lord, that so often we say and do things in anger, great or small, that hurts others, that hurts ourselves, that causes problems. So, Lord, help us to learn this day from your holy word, from Paul, from Jesus, how to manage our anger so as not to hurt others. Help us, O God, that we might therefore live more like Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.